Hello, and thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast. I wanted to talk today about the Internet of Things, some of the utilities of it, and then some of the questions maybe left unanswered for the more practical users out there. So considering IoT for a second, the Internet of Things, one of the biggest issues I see with it is the leverage that it takes from the home, your security architecture that you have within the network of your house. With a computer, with like a desktop computer that was behind a router from your cable company that was running some security system, or even just, you know, like a modern operating system that's able to run some kind of frequent updates from the manufacturer, that's an internet connected device. When it was just sort of one internet connected device in the home, the security system was really probably even better, even with the amount of I guess, information that would be sloughed off through error of the user. But now, with all of these connected devices all running to the router and all sending IP data across the network to remote servers in the cloud, someone else's computer out there, well, then there's a lot of other vectors of insecurity that start occurring, and especially if some of these elements of IoT aren't really updated as frequently with patches or security updates that keep systems like Windows 10 or like the Mac system that you might use secure. These things just take maintenance and development, and a lot of these companies that are smaller, they don't produce those things for a long time. Even a lot of the companies that produced IoT devices in 2015 aren't even in business anymore, and therefore, of course, don't support the service. And oftentimes it means even worse than just it having a failure of security. The device function itself doesn't have an IP gateway to access through its service anymore because the company's out of business. And then your item that you paid for without really maybe the explicit understanding of a license agreement continuing the service activation of the device while the company's in existence, now your device doesn't work at all in some instances. So it's quite ludicrous in those situations. I hope you don't get scammed out of money in that. IoT is great. My Echo device is fantastic for calling out timers in the kitchen and turning on and off lights remotely with that functionality. It's quite fun to yell out, turn my lights on, turn my lights off. It's great to do that sort of stuff. But outside of that, I wonder how adept some of these skills are going to be until we come about with a new iteration of voice recognition that's going to be a little closer to AI, actual artificial intelligence, than something more like coding, like what we seem to experience right now. Seems a lot like coding, right?
You can see more of my work at billynewmanphoto.com. You can check out some of my photo books on Amazon. I think you can look up Billy Newman under the authors section there and see some of the photo books on film, on the desert, on surrealism, on camping. Some cool stuff over there.
My name is Billy Newman. I'm a photographer based in Oregon. I do a lot of landscape work, and this image was taken in California on a trip that we did to Mount Shasta, to the east side of Mount Shasta, which is kind of a really cool spot. It's kind of interesting, near the town of Mount Shasta, near the town of McLeod, if I remember right. There's a lot of good stuff over there, a lot of good camping too. There's a lot of, I think it was the Shasta Trinity National Forest that stretches out over there. So there's a lot of public land that's developed enough and accessible for a number of things you can do for summer recreation. It was pretty cool. I remember going up to a lookout tower up there, checking out some stuff. I think there's a fire lookout tower. Some old timer was up there too. But this image was taken on Government Camp Road in the evening as the sun was setting. And this is kind of looking up to the, I guess it's the east face of Mount Shasta on the east side. And it's a really beautiful spot, but I kind of love the angle of it there, kind of the sweep that the mountain had. And I tried as hard as I could to sort of square that up the way I wanted and match that up with the trees and the grass and the shadows and get some of those tones. But this was shot on that N80 film camera, some of my best images from one of the cheapest, most, I don't know, just common cameras that are out there. Really cool stuff, and I love that I got it. It's really fun. Reminds me a lot of great stuff from that trip. It's cool.
You can check out more information at billynewmanphoto.com. You can go to billynewmanphoto.com/support if you want to help me out and participate in the value for value model that we're running this podcast with. If you receive some value out of some of the stuff that I was talking about, you're welcome to help me out and send some value my way through the portal at billynewmanphoto.com/support. You can also find more information there about Patreon and the way that I use it. If you're interested or feel more comfortable using Patreon, that's patreon.com/billynewmanphoto. I've been eBaying around a lot, and I found like way back when I went to college, right? I ended up getting a laptop, which was fine, and it was cool. It was like a Windows PC. But I remember when I was in college back in like 07, 08, 09, 2010, 2011, it kind of changed over the course of those years. But I remember when I first got there, I really wanted that 13-inch black MacBook. Oh, yeah, I guess it was just a MacBook. Yeah, you remember that one? They had like the white model and the black model MacBook for a while, these like 13-inch ones. And I always thought they were really sweet. Like I think they kind of came out right as I was getting out of high school, and they were a pretty solid machine back in the day for, you know, a lot of, you know, whatever it was for college stuff. But times have changed, times have gone on. And I was on eBay and I saw one for like $60. I remember them being $2,000, right? Like the black one was kind of the souped up one that you had to pay more for. And, you know, in Apple ways, it was always a lot more. And that was already hundreds of dollars more than probably what I was going to end up paying, you know, for any kind of laptop computer I'd get back in college. So I saw this thing pop up on eBay, and I was thinking, whoa, $60? I could swing $60 to get, you know, this laptop that I'd wanted that, you know, in my memory, I kind of remember is $2,200. So it seemed like a screaming deal, even though really it's just time has elapsed. It's a decade later, and this is obsolete, antiquated computing equipment. But I bought this MacBook body. It shipped out to me. It's a working laptop. It really is nice. I remember a lot of those black MacBooks, they had this this design flower, this little clip at the top of the screen would fold over, you know, as you'd clamshell the laptop down to close it. And this little tab would sort of break the keyboard plastic that was below. Either this one was replaced or an older person had it and never really got into it like that. But it's super clean. Like, it doesn't have that little greasy, wet puddle look on the thumb, what is that, like the mouse pad piece, and like none of that like wear and stuff on it. So it's a super fresh computer, but it was cool, but difficult. It's a little project thing, you know, like when I got it, it was running Leopard, which is the Mac operating system that it probably would have first shipped with back in like 2007, maybe, is when it was around. That was before they switched over from PowerPC to, or I think as they were switching over, that was the last version that it was like cross-compatible between like the PowerPC and the Intel Macs. Is that right? And then they switched over to Snow Leopard. That was all Intel PC-based stuff. And so this computer was capable of it. It was Intel-based. And what I did is I wiped it and then set it up again with, what is it, like Mac OS 10.7, which I think it went from like 10.4 to 10.7. That was the like OS 10 Lion. This is the thing I was learning about the Mac stuff, is that they kind of obsolete themselves after so many versions, right? Like, I think it can't run Mountain Lion. That's why I didn't end up installing it. And it can't run Mavericks, which is, you know, why I didn't end up installing it. It's kind of interesting. I didn't realize that at first, but yeah, I guess it's set up so that it's supposed to go up to Lion and then stay there. And, you know, really in most ways, like I have it with me today, it works fine with Lion on it. But the other fun thing was, you know, since it's kind of like a project computer to do some stuff, I really never worked with Unix the way that I need to, or, well, really with Linux the way that I need to. And so I was trying to think, well, what if I do like a dual boot where I get everything working with Mac OS X Lion, and then I install some software to do a dual boot, and then I set up a distribution of Linux Mint, which is like a Linux distro. There's like Ubuntu. That's a really big kind of consumer popular one. There's this other one, Linux Mint, and I installed that with the program. Is the file manager, program manager, window manager? It's Cinnamon, right? I think there's a few different ones. There's like Debian, there's Cinnamon. Maybe I'm all twisted. I think Debian's like a distro. I don't know anything about open source or Linux.
It's way above me in most ways, really. But yeah, kind of for fun and to be up to a fun little project. I installed Linux Mint on this old laptop, and it really screams through. You know, it runs a lot like Windows 7 or something like that. It seems like pretty comparable in that way. And it's, you know, it's all free, and it's kind of cool. I was messing around with the Unix terminal in Linux Mint, and it's kind of interesting, like seeing some of the differences between like the Unix terminal work that you can do in Linux versus like what you can do on the Mac. And I was kind of noticing like the package installer system, like it was called like apt-get, where you can just type like apt-get and then like space, like, you know, the name of some program in the command line terminal, and it's like a package installer where it'll go out on the internet, it'll find the package where it is on a Git repository. I don't know how any of this stuff works, and then it pulls that down and installs a package on your computer, all within the command line, all from like typing a couple of things. But it was just kind of a fun sort of like power user thing that I was trying to get into. I've also been trying to get into using Nano, which is it's a word processor built into Terminal. I know you guys are really excited about this one. A word processor built into Terminal? Say what, Billy? It's a word processor that was built into Terminal way back, like when Unix was a file manager operating system, where, you know, you had like a big hard disk, you had to make a document, put it in a file, and then kind of search for or access that file later, and, you know, have it contain the records or contain the information. I think like Stephen King wrote a bunch of books in this word processor, you know, just on like a super old system. DOS computer, mainframe computer, something like that. Whatever, you know, would have run a Unix operating system, just a command line screen back in the 80s or whatever it was when you had a personal computer finally. But yeah, it's like a full screen app. It's got a black screen, or, you know, black background, and it's just like the notes app basically, but you do everything on the keyboard and you kind of save files out. But I've been trying to do that as like a distraction removal system, you know. You pop into Unix. You do some of your stuff on the keyboard, on the command line. There's no visuals or like stuff that's popping up or getting in your way. And I don't know. It's just kind of been an interesting way to do a little bit of work stuff. But I'm trying to like go through and I journal a little bit. Like I write down like handwritten stuff. I write down a few things about like a photo or something that I'm working on or one of these little ideas I'm trying to sort and draft. And I'll like write it out there a little bit. But then like while I'm at work, I'll throw open, you know, the laptop and I'll pop into Nano. And then I'll like end up writing out the text document. Like I'll draft it a little bit on the paper and then I'll write it out. I'll type it up in Nano and then I get the text document, you know, on the operating system, and I can put that or throw it out to wherever I want to. It's probably silly and unnecessary, but it's been kind of a fun way to make use of Unix for something for a few days. So I don't know, kind of cool stuff, but yeah, messing around with some Unix, some Linux, some old MacBooks.
Thanks a lot for checking out this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast. Hope you guys check out some stuff on BillyNewmanPhoto.com. A few new things up there, some stuff on the homepage, some good links to other outbound sources, some links to books, some links to some podcasts, links to some blog posts, all pretty cool. But yeah, check it out at BillyNewmanPhoto.com. Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of the podcast. Talk to you next time.